ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Whether we are Sakama Karmayogis or Nishkama Karmayogis, the highest quality work is done by puppet in the hands of the Lord. Such a person is a pure devotee. So such a person is working in pure consciousness, and that is the most exalted position in the path of self-realization. One has to achieve that stage. So such a person, he also does work, he does a lot of services. But how does he work? He works in the mode of detachment from the fruits, and he is ready to render any type of service for the Lord according to the Lord's desire. So all of you understanding these three things, is it clear? So this is very important. As we go ahead, the points will be driven home much more, because this has to be very clearly understood. Of course, in the beginning, we are told that just render any service to Lord. Whatever consciousness it may be, just do some service, because you will get some benefit. But as one fine-tunes his spiritual life, then one should begin to assess one's consciousness with which one is rendering services. So if one wants to render service in the best quality, then one should learn to give all the fruits to Krishna. Why we are insisting on these things very much? Because the subsequent sloka which we are going to discuss today, that will be understood only when you understand these things. It will very much demand understanding of these principles to appreciate the next sloka which we are going to discuss today, Parvate Kriyamanani. But I was discussing the next sloka also, Joshiyet Sarva Karmani Vidvanjita Samacharam. Joshiyet Sarva Karmani means what? To title all one's activities to Krishna. And Nipta Samacharan, Vidwan Yukta Samacharan means one should engage others also in a similar way. So in that connection we saw many examples, isn't it? From Prabhupada's life we saw so many examples. How Srila Prabhupada engaged all kinds of people in Krishna's service. Because Krishna says in the translation that we should not disturb the minds of the ignorant. What does it mean? That means a person who is very attached to the materialistic world, who should not artificially try to preach to him and say, yeah, give up all of that, it's all maya. We should not preach like that. So Prabhupada never used to tell them, even give up meat eating or give up gambling. Rather he would preach to them positively and he'd chant Hare Krishna. So when a person chants Hare Krishna and gets a higher taste, then he automatically gives up the bad activities. So here Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties. So what should a learned person do? He should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. This is that is why sometimes people try to artificially detach themselves from the world and they will be miserable. They cannot peacefully live in the renounced order also. Because the world is such that when you do work, you feel that sadhus are more happy in a renounced life. They have absolutely nothing to do. Simply they are chanting, dancing, leading a happy life. When you leave the worldly activities and you become a sadhu, then you cannot avoid it because you want to do some activity. And the mind and senses are wandering in all directions. And one may want to again enjoy sense gratification. And one may again go back to the world and want to do material work. This is called as bhoga and jaga. This is like a pendulum to and fro. So long as one is attached to the fruits of one's work, this pendulum will never stop. First you will enjoy, then you will become frustrated with enjoyment, then you will want to renounce. And you will be frustrated with renunciation, again you will want to enjoy. So this will be going on. You can practically see in your lives the degree to which we are attached to the fruits of our action. But if one learns the art of working for Krishna, then there is no bhoga and there is no jaga, because we are doing everything for Krishna. We understand that nothing is meant for my bhoga, or I don't have to do jaga also. You don't have to renounce anything of this world. Why? Anybody knows why you don't have to renounce anything of this world? Exactly. Well, the first place nothing belongs to you. How can we renounce? There is nothing to renounce in this world. Only if you think you possess something, you will have to renounce. There is nothing to renounce in this world. So one knows, Joshiyat Sarva Karmani. Doubt all that one is possessing in Krishna. Krishna service. So one learns the art of doing that. So these are plenty of examples how Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully engaged all his disciples who had different propensities in rendering service to Krishna. So today we are discussing Prakritaye Kriyamanani Gunakarmani Sarvashah Ahankara Vimudhatma Kartahamiti Manyate. The spirit soul leveled up by the influence of false ego thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So in this loka, Krishna is telling us about the thinking of an ignorant person, how an ignorant person thinks. In the previous loka, what did he say? He told people in knowledge how to deal with people in ignorance. That's what he told in the previous loka. Now he is telling us how the ignorant person thinks in his mind. What does he think? He thinks himself to be the doer of all his activities. But in actuality, they are connected to the three modes of material nature, he says. So he uses the word guna. Guna is karmani sarvashaha. So the word guna has many meanings. One of the meaning is roop. Guna means quality. Guna also means roop. And if you have seen how a rope is made, a rope is twisted. And then the three ropes which are twisted to one another, and the rope is finally made like that. In the same way, there are three modes, Rajoguna, Tamaguna, Sattvaguna. So these three modes are actually dictating a person to act in this world, based on which a person acts. In fact, this is a very deep subject matter to understand. Small section from the sixth canto through which you can understand how we are made to act in a particular way, in a particular fashion, by the dictation of the three modes. When the Yamadutas are speaking with Vishnu Dutas, they give a very beautiful discussion about how every living entity in this world is controlled. So they are saying, beyond the five senses of perception, what are the five senses of perception, you know, isn't it? And the five working senses and the five parmatras are the sense objects, that is the mind, which is called the 16th element. And the soul being cooperated by these 16 elements is trying to enjoy this material world, is struggling to enjoy this material world, which is exactly like a big ocean. Although this material world is like a big ocean where there are innumerable aquatics, one can never be confident that I am protected. Why? Because they use the word ekastu. Ekastu means you are single. Why single? In a big ocean there may be whales, there may be sharks, there may be fishes and so many other aquatics living. But every one of them is an individual and they have to survive in the ocean alone. And if a person who doesn't know swimming in the ocean and he falls into the ocean, who can save him? He has to struggle all alone. So they are saying this is how the bewildered soul who is put in this complicated network of the 16 elements is suffering in this material world. And then they are saying about the subtle body. They are saying the subtle body is the effect of the three modes. How it is the effect of the three modes? Because the dawn of the creation, the dawn of creation, the first thing that was created is false ego. And false ego associated with the mode of goodness yields the mind. And false ego associated with the mode of passion yields intelligence. That is how we already have the false ego, and in association with the modes we get the mind and intelligence. Then we get the subtle body. So subtle body is the effect of false ego. And subtle body has insurmountable desires stored in it, which the living entity is always hankering to fulfill. And these desires are very, very difficult to fulfill. And due to which the soul is always being impelled. Because the mind is built up with such desires, naturally the mind is forcing the senses to enjoy. So this is how subtle body is giving different types. actually they are saying about 5 points, which is the second point of the central body. Then, they are saying how the, maybe I can get that, because these are very, very important points to know, because it's very, very practical. Which is very relevant to this shloka. You are saying that the conditioned living entity, unable to control his mind and senses, is forced to act by the dictation of the three modes of material nature, even against his own desires. You are saying, just consider this in your mind. Even if one desires to do something good, the three modes are pulling them in different directions, forcing him to act in ways which will lead one to destruction. They are giving the example of a silkworm. The silkworm is oozing out a particular type of liquid from his mouth. Yeah, for that you have to understand the three words. I will explain it just now after this. Just like a silkworm which is emanating some liquid from his mouth, is covering itself, ultimately getting completely bound. In the same way, the living being does activity in this world out of false ego. False ego means what? Misidentifying yourself with the body. And then thinking yourself to be the body, when you act, then you produce fruitive activity, as you call it. You all understand fruitive activity? Fruitive activity means which will be yielding you good results or bad results. And when the soul produces good and bad results like that, then he is born again in the next body, according to the karmana devanetra, and he gets the next body. But because of his past spiritual activities, he is forced to enjoy or suffer different situations in the next life. So how one can suffer in passion, goodness or ignorance? All of these three modes have their respective symptoms. The qualities are there. Like a soul who has fallen into a particular body where he is situated in the mode of ignorance, he wants to smoke cigarette, he wants to drink liquor, he wants to sleep for hours and hours. So these are all in the mode of ignorance. So the mode of ignorance dictates him to act like that in a particular way. So according to his past fruitive activities, the results are given to him. So in this particular life, a living being desires something, and there his work stops. That's all. He can just desire. How is it fulfilled? By the three modes. So three modes are making him act. I'll give you a simple example. For example, anybody can tell me what is the characteristic of mode of passion? Anger? Appreciate? Yes. Desire for honor, desire for prestige, attraction for sex life, and all these things procreating, as you are telling. For example, if a living entity, he makes a huge skyscraper building, 200 floor building he makes, how many things, how wonderful I have created it. Actually, the God of passion has created it. And how could he create it? Because in the past, he had the prarabdha. Because of his past activity, he had the prarabdha that he will be able to achieve such a thing. So the prarabdha is coming, and the mode of passion is dictating. Both jointly make the living entity to construct it, and the living entity thinks, I am the Duya. This is the meaning of karta ahamiti manyate. So everyone is born of a particular mode. Like in mode of goodness, a person may be a poet or a philosopher. If a poet is singing some poetry, it's like when he starts thinking, oh, I am writing such wonderful poetry, what abilities I have. Or if somebody is a scientist, using his intellect, he is inventing something new. Then he begins to think, I have done something wonderful, which nobody can do. But actually he is doing that based on the dictation of the mode of goodness. So Prabhupada is philosopher, poet and scientist. All these people are intellectuals, so they come in the mode of goodness. But generally speaking, the person in mode of goodness is more or less free from sinful activities. Otherwise, simply any scientist who is full of sins cannot be considered in goodness. So he has to be more or less free from sinful activities. So the three modes have the respective qualities. And and they are like invisible ropes. They be Ishatantriyam. It is Ishatantriyam. Ishan is actually the Lord himself. These are the ropes engaged by the Lord. They be Ishatantriyam Murudanu Bhadra. And they are strongly tying the living entities like shackles. Like the mode of ignorance is considered to be like the iron chain. Mode of ignorance. Because in mode of ignorance, one has neither knowledge nor happiness. One is not having any knowledge, he is completely in ignorance. And due to his ignorance, he indulges in such animalistic activities that he causes suffering to himself and suffering to others also. Very simple to understand. Anybody can give an example for this? Some classes ago I gave it. How does a person in ignorance cause suffering to himself and others? For example, if you are in a dark room, somebody is entering a dark room, and there are many people sitting or sleeping, what will he do? He will just barge into the room, and he will put his leg in somebody's eyes, somebody's nose, or somebody's neck, he will put and kill them. So when he enters the dark room which has no light, he causes so much inconvenience to other people. And what about himself? He also stumbles and falls down. So neither is he happy, nor he makes others happy. So maybe a person in mode of ignorance, for example smoking a cigarette, he is also burning all his lungs, and he is also causing so much passive smoking to the neighbor. He is causing harm to others, he is causing harm to himself. This is a person in ignorance. But a person in passion is apparently happy due to his dynamic hard work. But that is also happiness and illusion. In that dynamic activity, he is remaining in a state of illusion where he is experiencing some kind of happiness. Of course, this happiness is not a steady happiness. Sometimes the happiness comes and there is again lamentation and happiness like that. And a person in mode of goodness, because he is more or less free from sinful activities, he experiences a special kind of happiness. And a person in goodness is well situated to practice spiritual life and transcend the mode of goodness. So, these are the three modes which dictate the living entity. And the living entity, due to the dictation of three modes, is acting just like a puppet. So the living entity can just desire. For example, it is like a tripod. You know a tripod stand? There is a living being, there is Paramatma or the Super Soul, and there is Prakriti. Here is a Prakriti Kriyamanani. So the living entity thinks of some desire in his mind. How nice it will be if I can do like this. The desire comes to the surface. Then the Paramatma or the Lord in the heart, he is observing the desire. And then he is ordering the Prakriti. What is Prakriti? This body is Prakriti. His body itself is made of Prakriti, Panchabhuta. He is ordering the Prakriti, yes, to fulfill his desire. How does Lord order the Prakriti? He orders it based on whether we deserve such a result or not, according to our prarabdha. He sees our prarabdha and he orders the Prakriti to execute the activity. And the Prakriti does the activity, the body does the activity. Because detected by the three modes. And what does the soul think? I am doing it, I think. For example, if a person wants to eat a food, eat some food from the plate, and the soul is desiring, I want to eat, but the Isha, the Lord in the heart, he is observing that the soul doesn't deserve to eat this food. So although the person wants to eat, he is having a paralytic attack. The hand doesn't even move. And it remains like this. He wants to eat but he is unable to lift the food. Because the Lord has ordered the Prakriti not to cooperate with him. Understand the point? So, the soul has absolutely no capacity to do anything by himself. He always simply depends on Prakriti which is dictated by the three modes. And he is a conditioned soul. You all understand this point? So, we are really not the doers. We are simply witnessing the activities being taking place in our body. If you see, generally everyone considers his body to be his own. Then he considers his bodily extensions to be his own, like his wife, his children. Then he considers his house to be his own. Then he considers his state to be his own, or his country to be his own. This is are called as Dehatma Buddhi. And somebody, sometimes I was speaking also people, they say they claim to be Indian, isn't it? If somebody humiliates him or something with respect to state, then their blood pressure goes to height. Why? Because they are so strongly attached to the country. Now if somebody is attached to a particular caste, I come from such and such caste. You all must be knowing what caste you come from. So you become very attached to that caste. As soon as somebody else comes to you and tells you, I belong to the same caste, immediately you feel the kind of heat in the heart. Oh, you are my person. Please come, you want to embrace. You feel like that, isn't it? How you speak my language, or like that. This is actually bodily consciousness. First of all, we have to question ourselves, we have to speak of the extensions of the body, take the body alone. Does this body belong to you? Is this body yours? You can easily, practically prove it that this body is not yours. You don't own the body. For example, if you say you own a Reynolds pen, anytime you can open the refill, you throw away the refill, put another refill, and you can close it and can use it. Because you own the pen. In the same way, your body, it's not that you can do anything with this body, isn't it? For example, you want to go for a cricket match tomorrow. You're going to play the national game. If something happens to you, accident happens to you, leg will be broken, isn't it? Tomorrow can you go for cricket match? Or can you tell the body, now you set it right, immediately. I want to go for cricket match. You can't do that because you have no power to control this body. You can see that, like when you get diseases, you have no control. Of course, your doctor gives you some pills, you eat the pills. Sometimes, despite eating so many pills, you don't get cured for several days. Like sometimes, managers, when they get sick, they become afraid, oh, if they can get cured, it will be so nice. They take heavy doses of medicine to get cured in one or two days. But then it becomes aggravated and they are in bed for 2 months. You can't control the body. You have absolutely no control. Because this body is not ours. It is not our property. If it had been our property, we can have complete control over it. Similarly, wife also is not our property. Isn't it? Husband's property. Because you cannot control completely. Because she has a free will also. Similarly, how you are thinking it to be your property, that sooner or later you are going to be thrown out of the house. Isn't it? You have to take another body. That way, if you see, nothing belongs to us. One can understand that this body doesn't belong to me. Other things are very easy to understand. But this is very, very difficult to understand. Because we don't even think body belongs to us. We think we are the body. That is like the biggest problem. The false ego is so strong that we have to speak of considering ourselves to be the owner of the body. We think ourselves to be the body itself. Due to the false ego, we consider ourselves to be the doer. How the soul falls into this world is explained. Just like there's a big fire and from that there are fire sparks are emanating. So if the fire spark is falling in water, what will happen? It will be almost extinguished. If the spark of fire is falling on land, there is some possibility that it can remain a spark. If the spark of fire is falling in a dry grass, fire will come immediately, fire will be lit up. In the same way, the soul which is very pure in nature, although he is pure, one in quality with God, one in quality with Krishna, he can fall off because he is infinitesimal. He is very, very tiny and small. So he can be overwhelmed with Maya and be trapped by these 3 months. So falling in water is compared to what? Ignorance. Why? A person who has a soul who has fallen in a body which is in the mode of ignorance, you can see that the spiritual qualities are almost extinguished. You cannot find any spiritual quality. He may be an atheist or he may never bother with God or he may be indulging in such abominable, sinful, demoniac activities and you cannot even withstand that person. You cannot stay with that person. That is mode of ignorance. The person's passion, why it is said the spark falling on land? Because such a person is a very dynamic person, but in the wrong direction. So he has to go to the right direction. You just change his direction. He's going very, very fast. exactly in one direction. You turn him about that, then you go very fast to hear that. So somebody in passion, if he comes to Krishna consciousness, he can take leaps and bounds if he agrees to gradually elevate himself to goodness. If he remains in passion, he may do a lot of activities in Krishna consciousness and then fall down. He may not be able to advance. One is a mode of passion. Somehow he has come to Krishna consciousness. What should he do? He should try to gradually elevate himself to the platform of goodness like that. And a person and the spark of falling in dry grass is compared to what? Goodness. Compared to goodness. Because in goodness, when you situate yourself in goodness, your mind is so fresh and your heart is so fertile that a wonderful receptacle for the nectar of spiritual knowledge. You can very easily receive it. You can hear avowals and avowals of Shravana, of the knowledge that is given in the scriptures, and you will be completely enthusiastic to execute spiritual activities, and you will spontaneously be simple. There are so many qualities mentioned. The mode of goodness, Shama, Dhamma, Tapa, Shaucham, cleanliness, peacefulness, austerity, and wisdom, religiosity. These things become a very, very natural outcome in the body of a person in goodness. That is why even the parents in India also, they try to give sanskaras to their children. Like some children, you can see, one time a child, he was wearing shoe and he was coming out of the temple. So he gave him prasada. He said, no, wait a minute. He went and washed his hands and came and he said, please, now you give it. So like that, if one is getting good sanskaras and one comes to the platform of goodness, then it is very easy for one to pick up spiritual life quickly. So, in this way, these three modes, this is how the soul is fine, and we can understand the chance of the living entity, how we can elevate himself very fast. So, I was telling about, we will finish that point, what the Yamadutta was saying, before we go on. So, they were telling about the example of silkworm. And being born like a silkworm, they were always bewildered. So they were saying, the fulfillment of the desires. How was the fulfillment of the desires taking place? It is because of the past creative activities. So the Yamadutas are concluding, saying that because the living entity possesses insurmountable desires in the subtle body, and is dictated by the three modes, he is carrying on taking one body after another, which is called the samsruti, continuation of material existence. Somehow or other, the living entity should give an opportunity to associate with the pure devotee. They are saying that he should know how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's where they are concluding. If he gets that opportunity, then there is a means of deliverance from this ocean of material existence. Otherwise, somebody born in passion may be repeatedly born in passion for millions of lifetimes. Somebody born in goodness may be repeatedly born in goodness like that. So one may not be able to deliver oneself from this world unless one comes in contact with a pure devotee. That's what they are concluding. So here, in this shloka, he is discussing about Prakriti Kremanani Gunakarmani Sarvashaka. He is telling Ahankara, Ahankara Vimura Atma, Karta Aham, he says. That's like a harmonium, simple example. If you are playing a harmonium and singing some nice song, will the harmony become proud? How sweet I am singing? Because that's the player of the harmony. Or a screwdriver. You take a screwdriver and you tighten a nut. Will the screwdriver become proud? If he becomes proud, how foolish he is. Does he have the capacity to tighten the screw by himself? He has no capacity. But he is actually being orchestrated by somebody else behind. Somebody is pushing him, somebody is rotating him in order to perform that activity. In the same way, everyone is actually prepared to be the three modes in the condition stage. Now again, coming back to Sakama, Nishkama and Karma Kandi, Sakama Karma and Nishkama Karma. Anybody can say these three things? At least one. Because now we will be going little deeper to understand another aspect. Who can say, what is Karma Kanda? Yeah. He is attached to putative works and he performs some religious rituals. That is all. He is a Karma Kandi. Higher than that, Who is Sakama Karma Yogi? That is for deliberating from Sakama Karma Yoga, but what is the nature of a Sakama Karma Yogi? What? No, I am expecting something very important there. Yes, he knows Krishna as the goal. That is very important. He is understanding that the Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. That is attached to the fruits of this action. He is Sakama Karma Yogi. And then Nishkama Karma Yogi is what? What is doing? No.
He's attached to work.
Yeah, he's attached to work, but not attached to the fruits of his action. Is it confusing or is it easy to understand? I think last time I gave some examples to you. So I told the example for Sakama Karma Yogi. Who can say? Yeah. Gulab Jamun example. He is doing Gulab Jamun for whom? He is doing Gulab Jamun for whom? For Krishna. Isn't it? Because he knows Krishna is the goal. So he is making Gulab Jamun for Krishna. But in the course of making Gulab Jamun, what does he think? Shweta will say? Yes. That means he is attached to the fruit of action. Even a child can understand. So he is attached to the fruit of his action. That means he is taking the credit of his action. He is called as a Sakama Karma Yogi. Nishkama Karma Yogi, who can give an example? Is even superior than Nishkama Karma Yogi. Yes. That means he likes to do a particular work, but he doesn't want the credit. He knows he is an expert in doing a particular work, so he does the work, but he knows that this ability is given by Krishna to me. Yes. Yeah. Very good. He remembers last week's class. He doesn't take the credit for himself. He tells others, oh, I have no ability. All this was done by my other devotee friends. Actually, he has only done it. He or she has done it. But what does he or she say? I don't know even how to gulab jamun. I was just mixing flour and this and that. They only did everything. And when you go to them, you'll come to know who actually did it. But he doesn't take the fruits. He just gives the fruits to devotees or to Krishna right now. He is called as a Nishkama Karma Yogi. Now, a devotee is even superior to that. The devotee is not attached even to a particular type of work in which he is an expert. The devotee may be expert daksha in particular activity, but he is not attached to even that activity. He is ready to give up even that attachment and ready to follow the order of Krishna. For example, great acharyas generally love to live in Vrindavan. Who would like to leave Vrindavan? Great souls would try to leave Vrindavan. Because for them, when they visit Vrindavan, they are visiting the spiritual world. They are in that consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada visited Vrindavan and he was in Damodar, the other Damodar temple. He was living just very close to Prabhupada Swami's Samadhi. You see, he was living so close to that. And he was seeing the atmosphere there in Vrindavan. Everyone is chanting Radhe Radhe, they are all having beads. Even a rikshawala, a driving rickshaw is chanting Hare Krishna and beads, if you see. That is the nature of Vrindavan. So how would a pure devotee living in such a spiritual world like to live in Vrindavan? Naturally, everyone will be attached to living there, isn't it? So he may like to live in Vrindavan and simply chant all day and night. He can chant also, very advanced devotees. They can be simply chanting and the Lord will send them whatever they need and they can be leading a happy life. That Srila Prabhupada was ordered by Dr. Siddhanta Saraswati, his spiritual master, that you are a young man, educated, quietly go to the West and preach this message of Krishna consciousness in English language. This was the first instruction he gave him. And he took this instruction as his life and soul. And he gave up his own personal attachment to Vrindavan. What did he do? He went to Paris, he went to America. And he was ready to live in such a horrible place like New York. And live in the midst of such horrible people. Who would like to live in such a place? Because he wanted to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. So, a person who is a bhakta, he is not attached to fruits of his work. You can practically see, what did Prabhupada say? You all know the letter? And when he was going in the Jalabhuta, he wrote a beautiful poem. In the poem he is telling, he got three heart parts. I was wearing the Jaraduta. See, he survived somehow. And the captain of the ship told him, old man already going like this. What are you going to do in America? Before you reach America, the PhD will die. Better you go back to India. But he said, no, I am ready to die in the battlefield. I have to go. It's the order of my spiritual master. So he went. And after, while just when he was reaching the shores, he saw big skyscraper buildings and a very noisy culture. People just moving about here and there, passionately wandering here and there on cars and trains in want of sense gratification. So Prabhupada writes in the poem, oh my God, I don't know why you have brought me here to this dangerous place. You must be having some mission to be fulfilled by me. Otherwise, you would not have brought me here. Please hear this sentence very attentively. That means, you all are able to understand this point, that beauty never feels that I have come to America to achieve some success. Later on, Prabhupada told his disciples, I never came to America to achieve success. I simply came to America on the order of my spiritual master. I was ready to die also. If I would have died in the Jaraduta, I would not have worried. I simply wanted to fulfill the order of my spiritual master. I never came to achieve success and do very many great things. Krishna did everything. So when he is brought to the shores of New York, Prabhupada says, oh Krishna, why have you brought me here? That means he understands that Krishna is actually pulling me here. He has brought me to this place. And he says, oh God, please make me back in the way you want. He said, I have the puppet in your hands. So just a few minutes before we were discussing that the condition sword is orchestrated by whom? By the three modes of material nature. But because the pure devotee is beyond the three modes, he is orchestrated by the Lord himself. God himself makes him act. So he is not operated by the three modes. So pure devotee is not only orchestrated by the Lord, he also is aware that he is being orchestrated. That is the beauty. He is also aware, completely aware, that Krishna has actually brought me here, he is only making me move. That is why even if they are undergoing some suffering, they are always joyful. Why? Because even if the Lord gives them some burden, they know that it is a burden of love. It is not a burden of suffering, it's a burden of love. Is it? Like, there are so many examples you can give for burden of love. Like, for example, if you love someone, if like a father, the father is an old man, the son is going with him. So father cannot carry the suitcase, the son wants to carry for him, because he loves his father. But the suitcase is heavy, it won't be heavy for him. Even if it is heavy, he won't feel the heaviness. Why? Because he is rendering service out of love. Not a very good example, that the husband wife, you can say, easily can understand. If say wife is pregnant, she cannot carry heavy things. So husband is carrying too many bags, one bag and one this shoulder, that shoulder, another suitcase, everything. He knows that actually I have to help her because she is pregnant. She cannot carry anything. So you don't feel any pain at that point of time. Because you love your wife, children like that. Like that. You understand the point? And the same way, a pure devotee clearly knows that he is orchestrated or meant to act in the ways like Krishna himself. See the beauty. He is also aware of that. So Prabhupada is saying, oh, you have brought me here, he is saying, that means he never thinks that I have come to America to preach. He knows that Krishna has brought me. I am just like a puppet in his hands. So this consciousness is the consciousness of a pure devotee. Such a devotee is not dictated by the three modes. He is directly controlled by Krishna. And later on you can see how Prabhupada did so many activities, established 108 temples, but he never ever felt that he did anything at himself. He never thought himself to be the doer. He told his disciples once that there was never a time in my life when my spiritual master was not next to me. That means he has always been remembering that my spiritual master is right next to me, always giving me directions, do this, do that. In fact, his spiritual master did give instruction. That time when Prabhupada was sleeping in the night, that time he was actually grihastha. So he was sleeping in the night and his spiritual master came in a dream. And he told him, take sannyas. And he told him, Prabhupada was very frightened. that, oh, there'll be something just coming to my mind. Then, after a few days you were sleeping, again the same order came. Next time I asked, his guru came and told them. Actually, Prabhupada was so advanced that he felt himself very, very humble and very, very unqualified to take sannyas. How can I take sannyas? Sannyasi means you should be a liberated soul, a pure devotee who has absolutely no obligations to the material world. And I am so fallen, he considered himself very, very unqualified to take sannyas. But his spiritual master came and dictated, directed him. Thereupon, Prabhupada got direction and he took sannyas. That is the order of his spiritual master. And then he went abroad and his spiritual master got order and he fulfilled everything. And the greatest beauty is never felt himself to be the Guru, just by doing all these things. So, here Krishna is talking of the ignorant soul, who is considering himself to be the doer of all his activities. Whereas a pure devotee always feels that he is being orchestrated. One great Vaishnava he sings,
जगत विचारे किछु नहीं पाई तुम्हार करुण सारा करुण न होले कंदिया कंदिया प्राण न रखी द्वारा.
He's saying, Yogyata Vichare, if you inquire about my qualities, what do I possess? Kichu nahi paaya, I have no qualities, he says. If you examine me, you will not find any qualities in me. He says, kichu nahi paaya. Tamara karuna sara. All that I am made upon is by your mercy. That means my entire body is made of your mercy, he is saying. Tamara karuna sara. Karuna na hoile, if you don't have your mercy, what will happen to me? Kandiya kandiya prana na ra, nara. I will not be able to maintain my life. I will simply weep and I will not be able to maintain my life, he said, if I don't have your mercy. So, although the pure devotees are in a very advanced state of Krishna consciousness and Krishna awareness, still they never think that I am so Krishna conscious by my strength, by my learning and by my surrender. This is my strength. They never feel like that. They feel that the Lord is grasping them, keeping them at his lotus feet. And if the Lord would let them loose, they would fall down from there. This is their feeling. Always. Always they feel that the Lord has kept me under his shelter. And because of his mercy, I am staying. Under 3 months. Amani Namana Dana Kirtane Sadahari. And then one should be a strong street and more because a person feels that he is not only is not a doer, he has no ability, he feels like that. Although he has a lot of ability, which is coming from Krishna, that we call as Krishna Shakti. As a pure devotee has tremendous ability to attract the conditioned souls towards himself. How is he attracting? Because of the Krishna Shakti that he is possessing. But he feels inside his heart that I have no ability, I have no strength, I have no devotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to cry, "Oh, I have no love for Krishna. If only I had even a drop of love, I won't be surviving in this world. The very fact that I am surviving and doing my activities goes to show that I have no love for Krishna." Do Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have love or no love for Krishna? Says, why he said like that? Why it is? If Mahaprabhu says he has no love, what will pick up us? Srimad Bhagavatam says that when one recites the, upon the recitation of the holy names of the Lord, the tears won't start flowing down one's eyes, then such a person is considered to be, such a person's heart is considered to be steel framed. Become morose when you hear these shlokas. You should become blissful, understanding that you are very conditioned. You should know that I am very, very fallen. Sometimes when you tell these shlokas, people become little upset and angry in their heart, although they are desperate outside. What is this? That means you mean my heart is still trained. I don't say that, Bhagavatam says that. We have to purify our heart. Presently we are chanting Aparadhana. Very unfortunate. But we should be making endeavor to gradually, slowly, slowly, slowly advance and at least come to the Namabha stage. In Namabha stage, one can practically see the anarchas being thrown out. Gradually all the anarchas will be going on. How do you know that you are in Namabha stage? When you are coming to Namabha stage, you will see that your Asat Krishna will reduce. Asat Krishna means craving for material pleasure. That will reduce. For example, if one has a great attraction for sex life, and one is chanting in Namabha stage, one will see that the attraction for sex life is becoming very, very blurred and insignificant. And it is going free from that. Similarly, attraction for any form of sense gratification, the eyes, the nose, the tongue, the ears, and the skin. When we have a great craving for enjoying through these senses, then we call it Asat Krishna. Craving for the temporary. But when one chants an hour, one will see that the attraction for the materialistic things are reducing. On the contrary, what do you find? What do you find? Tremendous attraction to Krishna. You will be mad after Krishna. That attraction you can see. That you are pulled towards Krishna. You can see that. So this is a good sign if somebody is feeling like that. If somebody is feeling tremendous attraction towards sense gratification, that is a bad sign. So you should try to gradually advance towards Namabhas and then to Chaitanya. That is why you have to fix the mind in the Krishna's lotus feet. That's the first step. You have to completely absorb your mind in thinking of Krishna's pastimes, hearing Krishna's pastimes, and constantly absorbing in very, very auspicious texts. So that the mind is absorbed like that, that's the purpose as you read Krishna book whenever you go in the night to bed. When you read Krishna book, then you'll get Krishna dreams. So when we have such pure mind and auspicious thoughts in our mind, naturally the senses also want to engage in Krishna service. And gradually we can come to that. So unless you come to Namabhas, Anartana Vritti won't take place and you cannot become free from other karmic activities. So even after becoming a devotee, you may be suffering. Like somebody becomes a devotee, it doesn't mean that from then onwards there are no karmic reactions. Reactions can come. Karmic reactions can come. Until one comes to Namabhas and then to Shuddhana. So reactions will come. We don't have to worry. The sufferings come because the past fruitive activities are impending. The sufferings are going to come. But we know that there is an end for the suffering. Is it not? We have come to the right path and we are advancing in our progressive march towards Godhead. So whatever sufferings are going to come, let it come. But then there is going to be end for that. After that, we will become a pure devotee and then we will return back to Godhead. So we should be very, very patient. We shouldn't become intolerant. Some people think, after I became a devotee, I am getting so many sufferings. That means probably I should give up devotional service. idea. We should never give up bhakti. We should continue on and on. That's what he says. Atyanukam patisamichamano munjana evatman pritam vipakam. Atmakritam vipakam. These are all results of my own past activities that I'm suffering now, my Lord. The devotee says like that. There are more advanced things which I didn't tell you. Like a pure devotee also may suffer sometimes. Like Narad Maharaj suffered. Isn't it? Did he not? How much he suffered, Kala? There are many devotees. Some more examples anybody can give? How pure devotees suffered?
Pandavas.
Pandavas. How they suffered? So much suffering. Yes. Anybody else?
Kandama.
The gopis also, yeah. Ambarish. Ambarish has also put in a situation like that. So many examples you have heard now, just now. So all these people suffer, but if Lord is merciful upon his three devotees, and three modes of material nature don't act upon these devotees, then why do they suffer? See, the suffering comes from three modes only, isn't it? Because to purify them, they are already purified. They are already pure devotees. Glorify them. Correct. To glorify them and to show to the world that even in such a suffering condition, my pure devotees will never leave my shelter. That is saying. They are beautiful shlokas. After the Ambarish, last time is over, you should preach in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many beautiful shlokas. So the Lord is saying, Sadhava Hridayam Mahyam, Sadhava Nam Hridayam Tam, Madanya Prena Jananti, Aham Teshmanagati. He says, I am reserving the heart of a pure devotee, and pure devotee is reserving in my heart. I do not know anything but my devotee, and my devotees do not know anything but me. He is telling. And he says, and just like a husband becomes captivated by the love of his chaste wife, in the same way, the Lord says, I have become captivated by the love of my devotees, he says. A good example, isn't it? Actually, it is said, the power of man is brahmacharya and the power of woman is chastity. And the woman is very chaste, naturally she also attracts the chaste husband. And then there can be a very good relationship and peace at home. Similarly, the Lord says to Dhruva, the Lord says to Dhruva Samani, what does he say? He says, just like a husband becomes attracted to his chaste wife, he becomes subservient to her love. In the same way, I become subservient to my devotee's love, he says. Very beautiful things he is saying like that. So, for such a loving devotee, why should the Lord give suffering? Would the Lord like seeing his own devotee suffering? He would never like to see his devotee suffering. But he is putting them in such conditions to show the world how they are so surrendered to the feet of the Lord, that they never take the suffering seriously. Rather, they become 100 times more serious in devotion service than ever before, like Prahlad. Today we are talking about Prahlad, because Hiranyakashipu tortured him. So Hiranyakashipu, as Hiranyakashipu demanded, if Prahlad told him, okay, I will accept you as God, just for the sake of accepting you, otherwise you will punish me. We won't be talking about Prahlad today. Or if Hiranyakashipu didn't torture Prahlad, we won't be hearing about him today. So, the devotee of the Lord, even if they are put in such positions, we should understand that that is also the orchestration of Krishna. That Prabhupada was put in such a position. Why? Krishna wants to show how his devotees act. They are the real heroes. And see, Prabhupada, how in such a situation in New York, he was put in such a condition with 40 rupees, how he created 108 centers. So the Lord purposefully puts the devotee in such situations to glorify him. But the devotees are so innocent that they don't even know that they are being glorified. The gopis of Vrindavan, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, he saw the condition of gopis. You know how he saw the gopis? When he went to read the message that Krishna had given to the gopis were so mad for Krishna, they were all enacting the pastimes. One gopi was taking a sari and doing like this and saying, come all of you, I will give you shelter under this Govardhan hill. Because Indra is pouring so much rain, because they were so much mad after Krishna, they were remembering Krishna. And one gopi was jumping on the shoulder of another gopi and trying to stand on her head and saying that, oh Kali, I am going to punish you. She was acting like Krishna. So they were all absorbing Krishna's pastimes completely. And Uddhava told them, oh gopis, you have so much love of Krishna. You achieved the highest perfection of your life, but nothing more to be achieved. And the Gopis told Uddhava, please don't waste your time like this. Very famous. Better tell what Krishna has told them. What message Krishna has sent for us. So the pure devotees are so innocent that even when they are being glorified, they never take it seriously because it has no meaning for them. They are only always busy glorifying Krishna. So Prabhupada was busy glorifying Krishna and Krishna was busy glorifying Prabhupada all over the world. So this is the reciprocation between Lord and his devotee. So this way, the activities that take place in the pure devotees are all the pastime of the Lord. They are performed with the Lord. Actually, a devotee can never perform a karmic activity. No, even the tendency is lost. When a person becomes a pure devotee, even the tendency to commit sin is lost completely. You know this stuff, it says, when a person is not in bhakti, just like when the sun comes, all the problems they dissipate completely. They go away. In the same way, not only the simple reactions they dissolve when you perform bhakti, the simple propensity is dissolved, which is much more important, isn't it? See, what is the use of dissolving the simple reactions if you have not lost the simple propensity? You all understand this? Anybody can explain this statement? Like you have a glass of water which is very muddy and then you are using a centrifuge or something and you are trickling all the dust down. Is it a very intelligent activity to do? No use. If you take a spoon and do like this, all the dust will come to surface. Isn't it? This is the path of karma and jnana. Whereas in the path of bhakti, what happens? We don't settle the anarthas, we remove the anarthas, we throw them away. So that even if you stir to the best ability, nothing will happen. It will remain clear as it is. That is why the pure devotee can never be agitated. But even his consciousness, everything is completely burnt up and one becomes a pure devotee. Probably a pure devotee could be wrongly mistaken for having exhibited some tendency like that, but a pure devotee can never fall a victim. If a person has fallen a victim to his past tendencies, that means he has not yet become a Uttama Adhikari. He may be in between Madhyama and Uttama, or maybe a Madhyama Adhikari. Actually, these Adhikaris also, we should not assume ourselves that Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama, only three levels we say. Generally, a preacher has to be, represents, he should be in Madhyama Adhikari level. But there are many in between sets also. Like there is beginning Kanishta, and there is in between Kanishta and Madhyama, and there is advanced Kanishta. The advanced Kanishta is very close to Madhyama Adhikari. Similarly, there is a beginning Madhyama, there is a middle Madhyama, there is advanced Madhyama. Advanced Madhyama Adhikari is close to Uttama Adhikari. And probably he can exhibit some past tendencies. But then one is part of the Uttama Adhikari, there is no question. Uttama Adhikari is a pure devotee. It is completely free from all faults.
Can you say that the Uttama Adhikari right now has no tendency for simple activities only, but because of some previous reactions, he may be suffering because of previous reactions?
For a Uttama Adhikari, pure devotee, the previous reactions are already burnt out. Prabhupada, what he says, that sometimes the pure devotee may be forced to have a bad dream, Prabhupada says, in that purport of his dream. That is because of the sinful reactions done by his disciples, he says. This is the only thing I have read which says something, you know, very strange which we have not heard. Like even a pure devotee sometimes may suffer or he may suffer bad dreams like that because of the wrongdoings of his disciples like that. Otherwise, pure devotee on his own account, at least till now whatever I have read, I have not heard that he exhibits past tendencies or suffers past reactions. So even if a devotee is suffering some disease, is it due to past reactions? That is, it's due to what? example, few devotees suffering some disease or something. What is it due to? Is it due to transkarmic reactions? Doesn't collect Nava Prad, no. No, it is purely Krishna's arrangement only. Correct. Many people say Krishna's mercy. It's Krishna's arrangement only because the past reactions are already finished for a pure devotee. And a person has become pure. It is Krishna's arrangement to purify him as Bhagavad Gita was telling. It is Krishna's arrangement to put him in an awkward position where he works all the more seriously and preaches to purify him. That is all. Otherwise, if he has disciples, it may be due to the disciples since he has to take a share. Actually, Prabhupada says he is really not obliged to take a share, but out of his practice mercy, he takes a share. Yes, yes. That's it, you know. Yeah. Yeah, actually, the platform of, because it's situated in the platform of soul, actually, this kind of soap is also coming. Madhyata Chetasa. This is told by Kapila. He is saying, where is Sopa? Second Trividas Tapa. Dayata Madhyata Chetasa. It's the second line actually. First line he says, Padam Vishta, he says. Actually, Vasudeva Kadam Vishta, Shrinvanti Katayanti Cha, means he is hearing the Vasudeva's pastimes and he is Katayanti, he is speaking them out. Tapanti means what? Lot of suffering. Tapanti Vividas Tapa, there are varieties of suffering that may come in his life. That Naitan Madhyata Chetasa. But he doesn't feel the pain. Why? Because Madhyata Chetasa. He is absorbed in my consciousness. Kala never suffered because he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Ambarish never suffered even mental pain when he saw the big demon. Because he knew if Krishna wants to kill me, nobody can protect me. Never feel the pain. Oh, we can think how beautifully Krishna is working through this devotee and how wonderfully this devotee is surrendered. See, even to Krishna, even for Krishna to work through a devotee, the devotee has to be surrendered. Even Krishna will not work through the devotee. So the devotee also deserves glorification when you glorify the devotee. Sometimes your devotee has a very, very great quality. You know, you shouldn't say, ah, Krishna is working through you. Why should I respect you? No. You shouldn't even think like that. You should glorify that devotee, understanding that he is so surrendered. Out of envy, we may think like that. No. Ah, Krishna is working through me also, you know. We should think like that. We should think that it's because of the devotee surrender, Krishna is working through this devotee. We should be able to glorify that. Nimitta Matra, yeah. Yes, we are just an instrument like a harmony we were saying, or a screwdriver. These two examples you can remember. It's very easy to say, but very difficult to realize it. Because the past ego is there till we leave this material world. The last thing we leave is the past ego. Saranagati is there, it is very difficult to realize oneself to be the instrument. That is why, against the swabhava of the mind, we are working by, like in the beginning of the class, we chant prayers. Sandeham, Sri Guru, Sri Yuta, Apada Kamalam. We remember the spiritual master. We remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. We remember all the acharyas. And remember, so many great personalities are ahead of me, from whom I am getting the knowledge, because of whom I am serving Krishna consciousness now. And I am in good standing because of their mercy. They are all holding me. If they leave me, if their mercy is not there, I will fall down. So one has to repeatedly hammer and try to realize these things. Actually, we tell prayers, we sing songs, and there are so many rituals also in our movement, which are all done with proper understanding, which are not done, not empty rituals with no meaning. Whatever rituals we do, they all have a meaning. Beginning from the morning, samsara davanara. That's a deep meaning. So knowing the meaning, understanding the meaning in the heart of one, performs these rituals faithfully, and gradually one will come to the point of realizing I am a mere instrument. Like such great devotees, what do they feel? They feel that program here? I'll ask him. Because wherever he directs me, I will go. Chasma Prabhu used to say like that. One time he was telling Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, I am your property. You can do whatever you do, whatever you want to do with me. Wherever you direct me, I will go in that way. So Chatmapu sometimes it becomes very humble like that. This is not a simple exhibition of humility. It is actually a genuine feeling that a pure devotee feels in his mind. He feels that this is my master, and I have to serve him, and whatever he whatever way he wants me to serve him, I will serve. I have no reservations. So he feels like that actually in the heart. Just imagine, not only to surrender to Krishna, not only accepting Krishna's will, but really to accept somebody who is Martha's junior, considering him to be one's master, you can understand what kind of humility he did for one.
You were saying
so there is no impetus to work, isn't it? His avasah karma is this. Everyone is forced to act helplessly. Not that even if a person says, no, I will sit now, I will not do any work. You have to wait and see how long he can sit. He cannot sit. He will run here and there doing activity. He cannot remain. Even you try it with yourself. If you know that 3 months are going to happen, you know, in the way it is already arranged, you just sit in one place, how long can you sit? We all have moods. Not only that, the thought process, the mood starts acting from the thought process. I've written about a few points. Thought process, speech, actions are all dictated by the moods. Can you imagine? Even the thought process is dictated by the moods. That means, this is what we call as habit. You know habit? Somebody says, I have a habit of drinking coffee, you know. Or I have a habit of seeing movies. It's a habit. But where is the habit coming from? The habit is coming from the moods. According to your moods. If you are in Rajogana, then actually you will have a habit of, you know, dressing yourself very attractively, opulently, and eating meat and desiring honor. All these things will become a habit for you. You will say, it's my habit. No. If you are in mode of goodness, you will say, it's my habit to go to the temple. But habit is actually swabhava. The swabhava is actually coming by the dictation of 3 modes. But what should one do? One should be ready to change one's habit if it is not anukul for bhakti, if it is not favorable for bhakti. So, the 3 modes are telling you, do this. But what is the devotee saying? I won't do this because this is not favorable for my devotional service. So he rejects the dictation of 3 modes and he tries to act according to Krishna's instruction. So it's very easy to understand, you see. 3 modes are pulling you, but you are saying, no, I will hear only from Krishna. In the beginning, when you are neophyte, you are saying, I will hear Krishna, but then you are pulled like that in another direction. Although you want to follow Krishna, you are again pulled and you break the regulative principles. Next time, again, the same demand is made by 3 modes. You say, no, this time I will not do it. Again, you are trying to go to the side of Krishna. This time you somehow survive. Like that, we are pulled between the 3 modes and Krishna on either side. But what happens gradually, in any field you become expert, isn't it? In any field, if you are an engineer, you become expert civil engineer, or you become an expert computer person. In the same way, in devotional service, somehow or other, one gets the shelter of a pure devotee. Sayeva sadashakrute moksha dwaram apavrata. You become attracted to a pure devotee, and then when the Prabhupada was such an advanced devotee, the devotees would be so attracted to him. Always they want to meet him and talk to him. Then the Prabhupada would give chastisements also very strongly. They would commit, when they break regulated principles or when they don't perform proper devotion service, the Prabhupada would give heavy chastisement. But although they heard chastisement, they would be very afraid of him. Still they would go to him and hear from him instructions and all, because they were loving a devotee. So if you somehow develop love for devotees and love for Krishna, then we will be attracted to that side more than the dictation of the 3 modes. That means the degree to which you are attracted to devotees and Krishna, that much you can very easily give up the attraction of the 3 modes. So gradually what will happen at one point of time, you will kick out all the 3 modes. Jai Guna Vishaya Veda Nitya Kaurunya Bhavarjana in Gopiyan Mata, and you will be a pure devotee. So this struggle is going on. That is why they said Krishna consciousness is more of an internal struggle than an external activity. Krishna consciousness is more of an internal struggle. So when you become a devotee, gradually you will come to know what all Krishna consciousness is demanding. There are many demands. Because there's a saying in English, no pains, no gains. So sometimes you say, just chant and dance. That is easy. But when you chant and dance, later on the other demands will come. Then when you fulfill those demands, more and more and more, but Krishna will not just pull you, he'll pull you little by little by little by little by little like that, until you become thoroughly purified, till he takes you back. And it's not very easy unless one is very sincere. So the dictation of modes are there, but we should endeavor to go against the modes. We should not hear them. Try to go against the modes, even in the path process. That means right from the path process we should begin. Process, if a bad thought comes to your mind, you should replace it with a Krishna conscious thought. So Krishna is the mind, Krishna is the senses, Krishna is the activities, Krishna is your surroundings, Krishna is your friends, everything. Krishna is everything, then you will be well situated. Then even if the modes are acting, they will be acting, they are not going to leave us, they will be acting. But you will be able to say no to them. Not to mode of ignorance. Like morning you are waking up in the morning. Today you are determined, now it's 4:30, today I am going to chant all my 16 rounds in the morning. The mode of ignorance is acting. You will stay there, isn't it? Ignorance is coming and just dozing, making a doze. You feel a deep slumber, you feel like sleeping, isn't it? But you have to go against the mode. Again go to the tap and just wash your face. And then walk to and fro. Isn't it? March and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That means working against the modes according to the will of Krishna. This is one simple example. The same thing. Any example. Like you are going with a friend and in the company and they are eating something, you know, something very delicious it looks. Something very delicious which you had long, long ago. It's like some onion bhaji or something. So your mode of passion is acting. How nice it will be if I can grab one and eat. Put it in my tongue immediately. But what do you do? No. Krishna says I should not eat onion bhaji. So you forget it. You say no to that. That means you are acting against the world. Then you are going towards Krishna. This is how you can become transcendental. These are all small things. So from small things gradually you will go higher and higher. And at one stage you will be able to easily say, Nadanam, Nadanam, Nasundaryam. That. And you will not expect it. So they are very, very advanced to give up. They are not very easy to give up. Desiring to have followers, desiring to have the association of women, and desiring to have wealth, and desiring to have sacred poetry. So he is telling, one is not attracted to these things. Nama Janmani Janmaneshwari. I simply want to render devotion service unto you birth after birth. Then one is a pure devotee. I think we should give opportunity to him. I'll get back to you again. Why is it called craving? Why is it called free will? For a pure devotee? Conditioned soul, of course, every soul has a free will. Every soul has a free will to desire what he wants to do. The free will can be used either to love Krishna and serve them, or to go against his will and do whatever one wants to do in this material world. No. The desiring is done by the soul. The Paramatma is sensing the desire of the soul and then fulfilling his desire. For example, some people say, some drunkard is drinking. Oh, everything is under God, he says. People say like that, you see? He wants to drink liquor and he says God, he is blaming God. Everything is under God. You should say everything is under God and take his money from his pocket. Will you allow him? That is also done by God, eh? Isn't it? So, whatever they want to do, they do it and say everything is under God. Actually, first he desired to drink. The Paramatma sa. This fellow is desiring to drink, I will take him to a liquor shop, a rack shop. Then somebody will question, why Paramatma is doing like this? Why is he misdirecting him? Actually, Paramatma has no intention to misdirect anybody. He is ready to give divine transcendental knowledge. But if somebody is adamant like a child, not ready to hear transcendental knowledge. So God wants them to learn their own lesson. Okay, you learn your lesson. Learn a bad lesson. Learn it hard way and then you come back to me. So it gives them the opportunity. So it gives them the independence to do whatever they want. And then the world suffers in different bodies and then later on it comes back. So free will. But for a pure devotee, what is a pure devotee do? He doesn't want to utilize his free will and he gives away the free will to Krishna. He makes his free will one with Krishna's will. The pure devotee doesn't want any free will at all. He just wants to do what Krishna wants him to do. Yes, certainly possible. So the destiny, some people say everything is happening by destiny. That's not a correct understanding. Destiny means the facilities that are awarded to you. For example, you have taken a flight ticket. That means you are destined to fly, right? So you are going into the airport. After going into the airport, you can make a change in your plan and you can come out. You may see, oh, some MLA or MP is going, maybe some danger may be there in this plane. So better you can come out. Or, say somehow you are back into the plane. You are going to the plane, you are back in. Another half an hour is there. Even then you can decide. Maybe let me get out from the plane. Let me go back. Today I don't feel like going. So you can still come back. But after one sits in the plane and one has ticket in hand, when the doors are closed and the plane flies, then you have knocked it down. It is something like jumping off the vertigo, you know. Once you jump off, then you cannot come back again. The same way once your plane goes up, then you don't have to go. The same way destiny also, for example, according to destiny, one is born in a slum. Does that mean they cannot do bhakti? Of course, the surroundings are such that they cannot do bhakti very easily. But they can go against the destiny by if they come in contact with a pure devotee. So, pure devotee can give transcendental knowledge wonderfully and you can attract the conditioned soul. And if the conditioned soul is agreeing to follow by properly utilizing his free will, he can completely break through all his destiny and he can become a pure devotee.
If some particular murderer or anybody is there and he is condemned to death by a judge, so only the king, he can have, the judge himself will not be able to change that particular person, but the king can.
It's a very beautiful example. He is saying, like in a court, somebody is given a death sentence and the person has to die. But who can change his destiny? The king can change his destiny. President or Prime Minister, he can make a change in that. As he must be knowing, sometimes in the jail, if a murderer is in the jail and he is writing letter to the immediate minister or somebody, if nothing is working out, then the prisoners are given the freedom to write a direct letter to the Prime Minister. Do you know that? I can write a Prime Minister like that. So we are putting a direct petition to Krishna. And so he can change the destiny, yes, it's possible. Of course, destiny generally means the facilities and the surroundings that are awarded to a particular soul who is put in a particular situation. But then everyone has the free will to act in the way he wants. Like you are given a cup of lemon juice, you are given a cup of wine. So you have to choose what we want. And once we choose it and drink it, then we have to bear the consequences after that.
Suppose if you desire that you want to see Krishna, or then you hear about Krishna, but I want to see Krishna, or you want to do the fine, go to Goda Krishna, or you want to exist with Goda Krishna. So Paramatma will send that to
We have the example of two birds sitting in a tree, isn't it? So we have to express the desire and he will make the arrangement. Pradana buddhi yogam tam, yanamam apayantite. What is that? Tresham satati yuktanam, nalitam priti purvakam, pradana buddhi yogam tam, yanamam apayantite. He says, those who are constantly chanting my glory, my name, nalitam priti purvakam, and they are worshipping me with love, for them what do I do? I give them the buddhi by which they can come to me. Even if they are illiterates, he says. Even if somebody is illiterate, he cannot read Bhagavad Gita. Still, the Lord, while being seated in his heart, gives them the knowledge how to go back to him. That is his promise. He promises. Your question now.
We can also want to deserve
it. If you want to desire,
we should deserve it.
Actually, deserving is one sincerity. And it's like one doesn't need any part. For example, it is said in one hand that, you know, what is it about? దేశాంతు అంతగతం పాపం జనానం పుణ్యకర్మణం తీర్థంతో మోహన్ నిర్ముక్త ప్రజంతేమాన్ దృఢవ్రత వన్ హు హాస్ కంప్లీట్లీ పుట్ అన్ ఎండ్ ఆల్ హిస్ సిన్ఫుల్ రియాక్షన్స్ ఓన్లీ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ క్యాన్ హ్యావ్ దృఢవ్రత స్ట్రాంగ్ డిటర్మినేషన్ ఇన్ ద పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి విత్ సర్ అండ్ అదర్ హ్యాండ్ వి సీ ఇన్ ద 18th చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ సే సర్వధర్మాన్ పరిత్యజ్య మామేకం శరణం భజ ఆమ్ త్వాం సర్వపాపి విమోక్షయిష్యామి హియర్ హి సేస్ ద కాంట్రడిక్టరీ థింగ్ హీ సేయింగ్ యూ కమ్ టు మీ యూ సరెండర్ టు మీ యూ గివ్ అప్ ఎవరీథింగ్ అండ్ యూ సరెండర్ టు మీ వాట్ విల్ ఐ డు ఐ విల్ కంప్లీట్లీ డిస్ట్రాయ్ టేక్ అవే ఆల్ యువర్ సెన్సెస్ సర్ సో ఈ క్వశ్చన్ మే కమ్ ఇన్ అ పర్సన్స్ మైండ్ ఇఫ్ ఐ హావ్ పొసెస్డ్ విత్ సెన్స్ దెన్ హౌ కెన్ ఐ సరెండర్ టు హిమ్ కంప్లీట్లీ సర్వధర్మాన్ పరిత్యజ్య ఇస్ ఇట్ పాసిబుల్ You all understand the contradiction? Yeah. Well, how can you understand it? So, it is explained by the Acharya very beautifully. Just like if a mother tells a child, oh, your bath is too, it is so nasty. Thoroughly wash yourself and then come to me. Only then I will put a new dress and I will accept you. The mother says that. If the child is very adamant and very arrogant, then he will try to do it. Can he wash his tooth himself, the small child? What does he know? He will only put it all over his body. Isn't it? But if a child turns to the mother, raising both his hands and crying, Amma, Amma, like he's crying, please, you help me, I don't know how to do that. And he is coming crying to the mother, but completely surrendering. And the mother says, Aham Tvam Sarva Papa Devakshishyami. I will take away all the sins that you have committed. He says, so even if you have committed a lot of sins in the past, there is no problem. I can still show sincerity now and win the heart of Krishna.